Thursday, August 18th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, there's an interesting article written by Rod Dreyer in the American Conservative talking about the moral panic that ought to be taking place in our nation over transgenderism. He says in this article, if you don't have this moral panic, there's something wrong with you. You're either misinformed or you're living in a delusional world.
Yeah, what Rod is bringing out, there have been manipulated and misrepresented moral panics in the past designed for nefarious purposes. But the moral panic that ought to be in place in the cultural phenomena of transgenderism is absent, and he cannot understand why, and begins to present facts as to why this movement of transgenderism actually is an occasion for moral panic because of significant trends and manipulative destructiveness, particularly in the lives of children and in the sanctity of the family, and the priority and the supremacy of the relationship of a parent and a child that is now being invaded medically in order to assert the supremacy of the state over the child. Tom, one of the things he does in the article is he goes back and he interviews a number of immigrants to the United States from totalitarian countries, and they make the point that a continual tactic in totalitarianism is the insertion of the state in a role of supremacy over the child in place of the parent. Two of the key venues in promoting this sexual revolution in the lives of children is the public school system under the directives of the Federal Department of Education and the influence of the National Association of Educators, and in the medical profession is specifically focused in the hormonal manipulation and surgical mutilation of children. So if I can now go back to something that attracts me to this article, because it confirms what I've been trying to say. We are in a culture of insanity. For a girl who wants to go through transition to a boy, what they do to her body to create a male organ is absolutely horrendous. I can't even describe it. All of that is being done to children. And to do that, there is now the cutting off of the relationship with the parent and the child, particularly in some of our more totalitarian states within the United States. Parents are not allowed to raise their child. They're actually called bigots if they're teaching an ethical framework that is rooted within a sane understanding of ethics. If you're doing that, then you're called a bigot and you will lose your job. This is nothing but outright rebellion against God, and therefore what you have created, we will be in rebellion against. We will not be what you have made us to be. So, Tom, what we see now is the cultural battlefield of this spiritual war whereby the LGBTQAI rebellion against creation mandates and creation reality, and of course, as we know, biblically true and right, all of that is now under the assault. Journalism does not report the facts. Big business, now you can't keep your job if you don't go along with this cultural revolution. And the educational system has become the avenue to the grooming of children for the LGBTQAI. And then the government has entered in with a vengeance. We've lost all sanity, and the government is now not only going to promote this, give access to our children, but legally drive a wedge between parents and their children, and it can use the IRS as well as continued executive orders from the present presidential administration. Again, I think we've got to get in the public square. You got to deal with public policy. There needs to be the legal challenges and lawsuits to hold people accountable for what is happening to our children, from the grooming in the classroom to the surgical mutilation in the operating room. I wish in discipleship we were equipping our people with the whole counsel of God to deal with this issue in the public square. And I even more wish that we were about the Great Commission instead of being a shill of the culture as progressive Christianity has become in the evangelical church. We could be salt and light through evangelism and discipleship. Ultimately, that's what needs to happen in this spiritual war on the battlefield of the culture.
Harry, to that end, Rod Dreyer brings up in this article a rather surprising comment. He cites examples of this in other countries where atheist conservatives actually are better allies to those people fighting against this gender dysphoria mutilation. They have their backs better than Christians have their backs.
Well, he makes the point that pastors are silent, churches are silent. They don't deal with these issues just in terms of biblical exposition, and they don't raise a voice to identify sin in society, and they don't speak up on the sanctity of life, the sanctity of gender, the sanctity of sex, the sanctity of the family. They don't even speak up on those things. Why? The influence of progressive Christianity, the evangelical church now wants to be the culture player instead of its mission, which is the transformation of the lives of people, which is ultimately what changes the culture. And Tom, it's not just in Europe, it's right here. People who do not profess to be Christians, in fact, in some cases, would not even affirm a theistic view of life. And you have them speaking out and believers having to go to them to get their information. They don't realize it, but by common grace are helping believers while their pastors and pulpits and teachers are silent in evangelical Christianity. So they go to a Jordan Peterson and they go to listen to this individual or that individual. And they are the ones that are saying to the church, where's your voice? Where's your voice? And here's the amazing thing. It's not when the church decides to be a culture player that it has its voice. It's when it decides to be faithful to its mission to preach and teach the whole counsel of God and make disciples of all the nations that it actually impacts the nations. But they will become silent, keep their head down when these moments come, and in fact will criticize other Christians who get engaged in the public square seeking to be salt and light. The article was very informative. Much of what Rod Dreher writes is, and of course it's one of the things that we are trying to point out. He basically sounded all the notes, a culture of insanity, absurdity, immorality, lethality, rooted in financial profitability, and not confronted by the prophetic ministry of Christ's church because it has become co-opted by the culture shapers of the day. Corporate America, big government, federally directed academic world, Hollywood entertainment, and ideologically driven journalism. Tom, you can see how it works, can't you? Here's the school, the educational process, getting at the next generation to groom the children for this cultural revolution of insanity, absurdity, sexual immorality, and lethality. And then Hollywood romanticizes it. Journalism promotes it, big government enforces it, and big business tells you if you don't get on board, you can't have a job with us. Don't raise your voice. That's what you see happening in a nutshell. What we need are Christians who will stand up, speak out, stand firm, because they want to live under the eye of God and not the approval of the culture. And that awaits churches who will get on mission and make disciples, teaching God's people to observe all that He has commanded.
Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reader's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order your copy of this series, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Friday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.